Madison?
Yes.
Scream.
Why am I screaming? I don't want to scream. You know what?
I'm testing the levels.
I don't want to scream. I think it's inherently sexist that you think that all women scream all the time. Just because I'm excited over Captain Marvel doesn't mean...
Bless me bagpipes.
Hit the red button now.
I already did.
Oh, great.
We're testing the levels, you idiot.
I mean, just record from here.
Just start recording. I think it's inherently sexist that you think that all women are screaming, crying, whiny babies.
Anyway, welcome everyone to the Think Between Worlds podcast, season 3.
We're really doing this?
To keep going.
Okay,
so
let's cut. All right.
I'm going to keep going.
Hey, I can do this.
The beginning of each season is usually pretty unprofessional. I don't know why. It just happens to be that way.
It's called group dynamic. Okay.
Yes, that's fine. But here we are. All right. It's season 3, and we're talking about what, Madison?
We're talking about Captain Marvel.
We're talking about what, Madison? We're
talking about Captain Marvel. Higher, further, faster, baby. Let's do this.
You dig it.
All right.
Nobody seen the Warriors? Can you dig it? Yeah. Can you dig it? Yeah. Can you dig it? Go ahead. Continue. Captain Marvel.
Nope. No one's seen that movie. I'm sorry.
The Warriors.
No one's
seen it. Not seen the Warriors.
No.
Horse shit.
Nope.
Speaking of Warriors, we got ourselves a Kree warrior here. Carol Danvers.
Yep.
Yes.
Let's get on track.
I guess this is the first thing that we'll talk about. Let's talk about Carol Danvers as a character and Brie Larson as an actress. They're both great.
I agree.
Yeah. Real quick, interesting thing that I found is before the movie came out, I went and watched that like Wired autocomplete interview with Brie Larson.
Yeah.
She's odd.
A little bit.
Like, she's not like most other
she's
actors.
She's very dry. She's very, very dry.
Almost British humor.
The way she acts.
Very sarcastic.
Humor is very similar to Captain Marvel's. It's very similar to Carol's.
Yeah, and then when we saw the movie, I was like, is she even acting?
Is she even acting? Yeah. It almost turns into a Robert Downey Jr.
That's,
Tony Stark situation.
She exactly.
The character,
That's, you guys took the words out of my mouth. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
It seems they had this luck where it's like, hey, you know Tom Holland? The dude's Peter Parker.
And Spider-Man.
Hugh Jackman? Dude's Wolverine. Just, he was born, they were gestated in test tubes to play these characters. Yeah. Patrick Stewart, Professor X, get him in there.
They just got the height wrong with Wolverine.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a little too tall.
Yeah, he's supposed to be kind of, literally.
4 foot?
Yeah, he's supposed to be like a Wolverine.
He's like 5'4", yeah.
Right.
He's supposed to be like 4 foot.
He's ridiculously short. Okay. Yeah, ridiculously short.
And Hugh Jackman's like 6'4".
He's a massive dude.
Yeah,
he's huge.
But back to Captain Marvel.
Yeah, you look at her. Yeah, I've watched a bunch of her interviews as well, and she's very much like Carol. She's very dry. She's very, like, deadpan, snarker humor. It's very, very cool.
A lot of jokes that, like, she says them, and then, like, you take a minute and go, oh, she's being funny.
Yeah.
And then you laugh. Mm-hmm. And that's something that happened in the movie with like Nick Fury. Like she told a joke in the kitchen while washing, you know, helping clean up after dinner and that whole thing. And he was helping out.
And he looks
at
her.
He goes, and then he's like, ah! He starts laughing.
Yeah.
So
she's very, Brie Larson is, she's good enough to be an Oscar winner. I mean.
Right.
And as Madison has said incessantly today while looking at pictures of her, She's so pretty.
Yeah, like, okay, so that's one of those things that, like, when Captain Marvel was being released and all the press stuff and the stills and everything like that, everybody's like, oh, she looks so androgynous. She looks like a boy because, like, she's not wearing armor that sucks in her gut or her tummy and, like, accentuates her boobs. She's not wearing what Wonder Woman wears, basically, where it's a lot of skin.
Well, I thought that's,
it's
true.
Like,
what she's
it's
wearing,
2 steps away from Leia's bikini, basically.
Yeah.
Like, the DCEU version of it.
Well, even Wonder Woman's thing wasn't as bad. Like, she has a lot of shoulder and leg showing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
practical armor for the most part.
Like, classic Wonder Woman, there's definite boob bulge.
Yeah.
But with Gal Gadot Wonder Woman, it's kind of like, it's sheer.
It goes straight up. Yeah.
Right.
Which
is
fine. You know, like
it expands, but it's not like form fitting.
Yeah,
to
I was talking more comics, Because
definitely.
With Wonder Woman, because Patty Jenkins is a woman, she knows how to do woman armor. But that's not really the point. The point is when Captain Marvel was coming out, everybody was sitting there and they're like, oh, she looks so androgynous. She's wearing such a boy costume. Why didn't they give her curves? Why didn't they make her look like a girl? And it's like, What? Like, no.
She looks like a girl to me.
She looks like a girl. She looks like she's wearing the same sort of suit that Captain America would wear. And that's right. The point. That's fine. You know, if anything, it's kind of a step in the right direction because it's impractical to have your boobies hanging out when you're sitting there and you're fighting against alien races and all that, you know?
A little bit. Yeah, her suit's the sports bra of outfits.
It binds everything and keeps everything safe and secure instead of her boobies going flopping all over the place. Yeah,
you're exactly. A cosmic warrior. You got to at least look the part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're part of the Cosmic Kree Force. You're not going to be running around in a Wonder Woman one piece. You know?
Right. Yeah, all of the costumes for her were very practical and they weren't like overtly feminine and all that, you know, and like that's fine if you are a feminine character wearing feminine clothes, that's fine, but like she's not inherently feminine, like
she's not super sexualized either.
Yeah,
even when she switches out of that outfit to wear the Nine Inch Nails shirt and the leather jacket
ripped up jeans and the plaid,
it's not sexualized, right. it's just
her wearing clothes.
She's
kind
of grungy. It's the 90s, so
it
makes
sense.
They hit you on the head with a hammer like what six times almost in a row, and you're like, we get it, it's the 90s. Entertaining every time though. It never ceased to get a reaction.
I fully expected it to pull out the I'm blue card that Iron Man 3 pulled out the very beginning.
Favorite thing ever.
But it didn't.
Instead, they did No Doubts, I'm Just a Girl, which I saw online. That was kind of an iffy point with a lot of people. They're like, that's a little bit too on the nose.
Yeah, that's like the only big complaint. I'm like, they could have chosen some neat song, but they literally just go for I'm a Girl. Like, we get it.
Yeah.
Well, question. We get it. What was that meme you read to me earlier today?
It was a tweet I saw today.
Oh, yeah.
A girl had seen Captain Marvel for the first time, and she's like, is I'm Just a Girl by No Doubt a little bit too on the nose for the Captain Marvel soundtrack? Perhaps. Did it still bang every fucking time I saw it? Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. That scene. She goes full Super Saiyan.
Oh, like, absolutely.
In the fight. By the way, my favorite thing, usually you're going to do a strong feminine character. Mm-hmm. They're always going to kick ass, and that's when you begin to get people saying, Mary Sue, Mary Sue. Yeah. What I like about her, I've still seen people crying Mary Sue, but think about this. Before the end of the movie, she basically gets her ass handed to her in almost every single fight.
Yeah.
Even when she's on the above ground, not subway, the above ground train, she's getting her ass kicked by that squirrel, but I mean, she still fights back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you guys, all you Mary Sue criers, once again, do you guys not remember that central point in the movie where it shows her throughout her entire life falling at every age? And then they kind of pull a Batman Begins. Why do we fall? To get back up. And then that's when she goes fully cosmic powered, breaks the inhibitor, you know, and you're like,
I like how you went for Batman Begins as opposed to the thing that you pointed out in our Holiday Hero special about all the Spider-Men saying, I get back up.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
That's the end of the Spider-Verse,
But it's
quick. Let's rewind and redo it.
No. It started in Batman Begins. That one, I they're both really emotional, but I love that scene where Bruce Wayne's pinned
in
the house is burning. You know, what's the point of doing all those bloody sit-ups if you can't push a log? Master Bruce, come on. Why do we fall down to get back up?
Yeah.
They both escape into the Batcave. Yeah. I love that scene.
But, like, she's dynamic. She's a very dynamic character in the sense that, like, she's not a boy character put into a girl character's body for the sake of diversity. She's a girl character through and through and through. And they make a point of that again and again and again in the film. And like a lot of people sit there and they go, oh, well, it's beating you over the head with the SJW agenda. And you're sitting there and you're like,
what agenda?
That's just the female experience. Like girls have to deal with that kind of thing all the time. Boys talking down to them when they want to do something a boy wants to do.
Someone hated that when you kind of quickly begin diving into her mind, you see a pilot in the Air Force
sequence,
at the bar.
Yeah.
Hey, I think it's called a cockpit for a reason. Danvers. Oh, so I forget, someone in the comment sections on whatever site didn't like that. That was an SJW agenda. I'm like,
and you're like, that.
That probably totally happens to women all the fucking time.
It's the same thing when she's
Air Force.
When she's standing there and she's looking at the map, and the guy in the motorcycle rolls up and he's like, "Hey, nice scuba suit. Hey, can I get a smile from you?" It's like,
Girls have to deal
with the smile thing the time.
The best
they're
part
doing
is
to Brie Larson. Everybody.
Every fucking.
Oh, yeah.
She's so wooden. She should smile more. I'm like, do you know that's like the number one, the most sexist? Like, that's the number one thing on the list of the things girls commonly hear that they consider
you should smile more.
That's
like
number one on the list.
And I saw an interview where somebody asked her, like, "Hey, we saw that you guys put that in there. Was that something you added in after the fact? Like, when you started getting all the hate comments and stuff, and it's like, and she's like, I'm pretty sure that was in draft one of the script.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's just a very famous thing guys like to say.
Yeah.
So that was pretty.
Which I love weird. That one too. People are still going on about it. It's like in the movie, they explain within what the first very quick 20 minutes. It does go by a little quick. I'll admit. It's literally it's Yon-Rogg. It's Jude Law going like, don't let your emotions get the best of you, Danvers. And they're trying to explain. They're trying to whip her into Kree warrior shape.
Yes.
And that she comes off very stoic. Not wooden. She's stoic.
Yeah.
As part of the script, that's what she's playing. Yeah. People don't seem to be picking up on that. She's stoic on purpose because she's a fucking actress and that's the role she's
and
playing.
And then the moment that she gets to Earth and she starts to kind of realize, you know, she softens and she smiles and she laughs and she has great chemistry with the little girl who's her best friend's daughter, and like
Monica,
and then the best friend herself, they have great chemistry. Like, and she's great with Fury.
I challenge you. I think the whole cast, this movie had insane, like, next to Avengers, outside of I'm gonna challenge Guardians here. I think this movie, for being technically a solo Marvel project, I think this cast had the strongest. Everybody together just was rocking.
Yeah,
like it felt like Jude Law could have used more screen time or
a
something.
Little bit,
but it seems like maybe they've saved him for a sequel.
That's possible.
He was alive at the end, and he was sent back to the Kree homeworld. But even he's like really strong when he shows up and he meshes with everyone. Ben Mendelsohn, holy shit.
Ben Mendelsohn's great.
Give
this
guy more roles.
He's so good in this one.
Which is funny because I hated him so much in Ready Player One.
That's his role. He's been working pretty hard for 20 years. But
no, the thing is like, the last thing I remember him in is Ready Player One. And you're supposed to hate the character, but I hated the actor.
Overall,
he's
good
at it.
I did not like his acting in that. I don't know what it was.
You were buying into him maybe in real life being a sleaze, and maybe that's his hidden secret is he sucks.
Because it was
like,
Ready Player One, and then right before that was, I think, Rogue One, when he played another
really
skinny.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
that's
Krennic,
what I'm trying to say. Yeah, that's his whole career.
He was good as Krennic.
Just didn't mesh well with Ready Player One. I
didn't like him in that.
I get you. He does really, really well in this one, too.
It's just like, and before the movie came out, everyone was like, oh, hey, yeah, Ben Mendelsohn, he plays the bad guy in this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, cool.
Okay, that's the usual
at
this point.
So when I heard his voice in the Skrull outfit, I was like, here he is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like we said, spoilers, like,
He's not a bad guy. So now we're going to kind of segue into story. I think that the quote unquote twist of the film, where her memories were doctored so heavily that, like, it wasn't a... Okay, we're getting into spoilers again.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't a Skrull that killed Mar-Vell, it was Jude Law's character that killed Mar-Vell. And the Skrulls aren't necessary. They aren't the bad guys in this situation, at least.
Right.
You know, I think
they're refugees.
Yeah, the 100 or so that are there.
They're trying to escape the Kree Empire, which is from what it looks like to me, it looks like the Kree, who have been proven to be assholes,
villains,
like,
before this movie.
Yeah, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and with Ronan in Guardians.
What you didn't see is Madison did villains in quotes. Like, quotes. The twist, because she just quotes in there, because it's like, well, most of us who had been paying attention remember the Krees are like religious zealots.
Yeah.
Probably.
And
not,
like,
well, the thing is that this is the 90s. So
they might have been different back
then. In my mind, it's kind of like, we were cool doing, 20 years ago, and now we've things have happened. Power has shifted, and somebody radicals. I'm picturing, like, you know, World War II. Germany wasn't necessarily bad, and then Hitler got in charge, and everything went down the shit. So the shitter. So in my mind, I'm like they were noble warrior heroes, and then somebody
got in power, something happened.
And then they became bad guys in the modern Marvel Universe, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything.
Yeah.
But no, they've been fuckers the entire fucking time, apparently. And they're using the Skrulls being shapeshifters as a reason to invade other planets and take over.
Yes.
Right.
In the goal of you know,
we're cleansing.
We're saving the universe.
They keep saying the word cleansing, too, which I feel kind of rolls into the whole, like, it's a World War II. They're kind of being a little gross about immigration. Hey, I think this is a little bit more 2019 topical than y'all think it is.
Well, that's another one. All the anti-SJWs are freaking. Way to make the Skrulls the Mexicans. Great, Marvel.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, not all the Skrulls. Like, she actually kind of pointed out, at least these Skrulls seem to not want to have any part in this galactic war anymore. Yeah. Like, this group of, like, 15 Skrulls. It might not be all of them. The other Skrulls might still want to be fighting this war.
Right, yeah.
They're out there probably still fucking with the Kree.
Like, I think they make a point of that in the film where they go, like, not all of us are like us. Like, all of us here, we just don't want any part of this. Whereas there are some of them out there who still want to fight the Kree, who still want to destroy worlds and invade and take
over. They could have saved it for another film at some point. Yeah. They're still out
there. But we, you know, these ones are the refugees, and the only reason why they're shape-shifting and quote-unquote invading is because they don't want to get hurt anymore. They don't want to lose their families.
Right.
Which is one of the big things Ben Mendelsohn's character is like, he's the family tie to the war.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got a bunch of family members.
He's got a wife and a daughter.
Yeah, but then and a bunch of other Skrull refugees who are hanging out.
They're hanging out in Marvel's secret base. Find them. Yeah, and he wants to be able to come back to them and go, I want to keep them safe.
I love when he kind of reveals himself at the farm there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, we got ourselves an Age of Ultron kind of farm part. And to me, this was I love that. Mm-hmm. So I was loving Act Two. Most people think Act Two really slowed down.
They say
down
that
this
it
movie.
Slows down, and it kind of to me it does, and I love it too.
I love the character.
That's a lot of character building in Act Two, which I think is fine. I think it's great. It's great to see them really flesh out Carol as a human, because we saw her a bunch on Kree, and we saw her a bunch with Jude Law and the intelligence and stuff like that. So I thought it was good. I liked Act Two a lot. Yeah,
but I love just Ben Mendelsohn showing up, and he's just like, "Hey, I'm in your house. Hold it, hold on here." Just starts talking at them, and first I thought it was goofy. I'm like, "What's happening?
Is this weird?"
And then the twist is kind of revealed, and like, that's okay. That's what they're doing with this. At first, I thought I'm like, the movie might really have just maybe jumped to the rails just a little bit.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden it's like, "Listen, I'm not. Let me explain. I'm not against you entirely."
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, here's where Darth Vader's and reaches the hand out and join me.
Yeah, I thought that was going to happen too.
Right, and he's just like, listen, I have a family. We're not as bad as you think. All I want is my wife and my child and the other 15 Skrulls. I'm here looking for Mar-Vell's base, you know? And then I love that fucking, their science guy.
Yeah.
And well, you should know that Mar-Vell, it's like, it's invisible, but it's also orbiting the Earth.
They're not coordinates, they're like vector something or other.
It's in orbit, you idiot. Yeah. And it's like, I just love Sam Jackson, like, that's the science guy. And he's just like, yeah, that's the science guy. And then he just throws his hands up like,
he's like, eh,
sorry.
Yeah, this is all I've got. I mean,
I don't fucking know. Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
We'll go ahead and we'll get on the Quinjet, the prototype Quinjet. And if I may, I've made some modifications and like, the science guy.
Yeah.
Let's get on that thing that he modified to get us into space.
Made that more 90s is if at some point fucking Carol referred to him as, hey, Bill Nye over here.
Or he gets left behind and he's like, I guess I've been left here on Earth. I better assume a new form.
And he becomes Bill Nye, the science guy.
They digitally de-age him too. And he's I can find a career in entertainment. It's science. Just walks off out of the farm.
That'd be great.
Bill
that
Nye, the fucking
amazing.
Skrull.
That would have been so good.
That would have been, I mean, that's like my dream.
Now, speaking of a possible Bill Nye cameo, we do have to talk about the big cameo in this.
Yeah, okay.
And I feel like in the middle is a good part. So we can be sad for a
we'll
moment.
We'll talk about his cameo as well as the precursor to the film.
As those of you know, we did an episode on it. Stan Lee has passed, unfortunately. Yeah. And he had a pretty great cameo in this
in this movie. You know the most about it, so I'll let you talk about it.
The movie opens up with the normal Marvel credits.
Wait, I want to talk about this.
Okay, you do that first.
Okay,
that was amazing.
That was, man.
And I hope they do it again for Endgame, personally.
I do too. Yeah. I hope they stick with it for the next couple.
Right.
So what they do at the very beginning of the film, they do that big Marvel Studios, like, two-minute sizzle reel, And
Game of Thrones, what?
And usually, normally they have like a bunch of the characters and it's this really cool little montage of things. But instead, this movie has all of Stan Lee's cameos wrapped into it's the exact same opening credit sequence, but instead of all the characters, it's Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And they run that and everybody in the theater like got really, really quiet. And you could feel just how heavy everything got. And then it fades to black and three words come up on screen. Thank you, Stan.
Yeah.
And the whole fucking theater erupted. Everyone was like screaming and clapping.
You say the whole theater erupted. Everyone was clapping and going. And you're just like, I didn't want to cry. cry before the movie started.
There, I was sitting there. I was like, damn, this movie already made me cry.
Yeah, everyone laughed at you saying good. That. Yeah.
I just like how epic all of his poses. He's just like, he's pimp as shit, just like looking over his shoulder
and laughing.
It's like Drew Struzan, like level, like hand drawn art, and you're like, yeah.
You're like, now, yes. Good.
To include Derek, you tell them what the cameo was, and I'm gonna tell the backstory about it because I know about that.
Well, Kevin was talking about it, but he's like on a bus. Like, they didn't even show his face this time, which
it was the train. It was the train.
He was that train.
And they showed his face.
Did they? I just like, he kind of saw the side of his head, and he's like, this script is great, or he's laughing.
No. So, okay. Obviously, you don't remember it very well. He was sitting there. He was reading the Mallrats script because he was in the movie Mallrats, Kevin Smith. Now, he was practicing his lines. He was saying the same line over and over again, trying to remember his line. And Carol comes over, pulls the script down, and he looks up at her and smiles. And that's the cameo. The thing is Kevin Smith unleashed a YouTube video talking about the behind-the-scenes stuff for that. Apparently, it was during a really bad time for Stan. He didn't have any voice whatsoever. So Kevin Feige's like, hey, we don't have any good takes. Do you have any B-roll footage, any extra takes from Mallrats that we can use the audio from to make it seem like he's actually practicing the line? So there's actual audio from Mallrats in Captain Marvel because Stan Lee had no voice, which is why when he's doing the lines, they don't have his face in frame up until the thing comes down and he smiles at Captain Marvel.
I actually don't remember his face in frame. I must have been laughing and my eyes must have closed.
Probably.
I mean, legit. And I'm like, oh, well, I thought maybe.
Because Mallrats cameo.
Right. I was just laughing. Yeah. Or I was looking over you like, fucking Mallrats, you know. Yeah. I don't even remember the face. It must have happened quick.
Yeah, it was a very short thing. I think because pulls it down. He looks up at her. He smiles, and then it cuts immediately to her looking down at him.
Didn't even catch that.
And I don't.
She kind of smirks.
She kind of smirks a little. Yeah.
Didn't even catch it. Yeah. And all this time, I thought, you know, maybe that was a posthumous. They got someone that looked like him from the side, and they covered up his face.
No, he was.
I was thinking that this whole time.
Yeah, he was in that. Okay. And apparently, he's also in Endgame, but I haven't heard anything of whether or not he's in Far From Home.
Marvel, you cowards! Do Stan the janitor. Come on.
Oh man. Yeah.
Do it.
They already did.
I mean, sort of.
A little bit, but.
But I mean, cleaning that Avengers tower and being like, ah, throw that to Shammer here. Okay.
Oh, that'd be the
problem is everyone's already mentioned it. They're not going to use somebody's idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, which everybody was mentioning the Watcher cameo, and they kind of did that one where he's sitting with them. But
all but confirmed it.
You guys are my ride home.
Hey, guys. Jeez. Oh, no.
Oh, jeez. Come back, guys. You're my ride home. Yeah. Oh,
we always do the Dream Stan, the Dream Stan cameo for like the movie you're watching.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, fucking, he should have been a Skrull. He should have been like, oh, let me assume your form, Earthling. Oh, this is better. And just like walks off. Yeah. Like, hey, Stan the Skrull. Ha ha.
That'd be kind of cute.
I better walk over to that comic company there and try to pick it back up because it's been a rough time for them in the 90s. From walks in and opens the door and you never see him again.
Yeah. Madison and I had a conversation about this yesterday, and we're just like, we shouldn't ever really get too in depth about how Stan Lee's appearance in the Marvel Universe kind of breaks everything. Yeah, we were thinking
about
that because,
like,
well, everyone goes on about
in
that.
Captain Marvel, Stan Lee is playing Stan Lee. And that's never happened.
And he's playing Stan Lee in Mallrats.
Yeah.
And the thing is if he wasn't a comic book writer for Marvel Comics, how would Kevin Smith be such a fan that he would get Stan Lee in the movie? Which means that Stan Lee's writing comics about the shit that's going on in the Marvel Universe before it actually happens.
That means
in the
Marvel
Comics
exists in the MCU
as
a company that makes comic books.
But also, they're writing the Marvel comics of things that haven't happened yet because Iron Man doesn't become Iron Man until after the year 2000, and this takes place in the 90s.
Right.
So he's been writing comics since the 70s about stuff that's going to happen in the future, and my brain's exploding.
All you do is you tell people it's called metatext. It's metatextual.
All you really have to do is just. Let's not think about that.
I know that we focus.
Let's not think about
continuity is everything.
Think about Captain Sparklefists. I love that nickname for her.
Sparklefists. You know, I always thought maybe this was a bit of a. Speaking of Sparklefists, when she escapes from the Skrull mind probe at the beginning. I'm thinking there was a bit of some Samus Aran homage because she had those locks on her, basically hand cannons.
Yeah.
And she's kind of shooting them like Mega Man Busters or.
Well, she's trying, but nothing's coming out the front.
Now that's a fucking dream.
She's getting backfire out the back.
They were like, like heating up and stuff, and she was kind of doing the poses, and you're sitting there like, oh, there's got to be a Metroid homage going on here.
That's a fucking dream cast right there. Yeah. Yeah. Brie Larson, a Samus Aran.
She's been vouching for it for years.
And she's blonde. They're both blonde, so it works out.
She even cosplayed as Zero Suit Samus.
Oh, I love it.
Like this Halloween.
I love it.
Look
it
up.
That's so cool.
She did it. Speaking of which, but back to Brie Larson, like in her real life, did you know she had this weird like Kesha, I kind of want to be a pop star phase when she was like, I think right when she was 20, 21. You know about this?
No.
Have you seen pictures of?
Was she a singer?
I don't know how old she is. 30?
She's like 24.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is only a couple of years.
She's very young.
I know she was in Scott Pilgrim and she sang that song. She was Envy Adams in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, there was. She wanted to kind of be like a.
She sang Black Sheep.
She wanted to be kind of a Gwen Stefani kind of.
Interesting.
Envy Adams and Scott Pilgrim, she did look kind of like a weird Gwen Stefani.
She was probably okay.
It's like pictures of her when
long haired Gwen Stefani.
Yeah. She even released albums and stuff. There's like these album covers and she has like heavy mascara on, and you're just sitting there like, wow, she really wanted that. That's what she wanted to be.
Really, I'm totally picturing Billie Piper right now.
Yeah, she has kind of that one on.
For those of you who don't know on the internet, Billie Piper from Doctor Who put Rose Tyler.
She's like a pop girl.
She was a pop star. She was Britain's Britney Spears for like 6-7 years.
Yeah,
she had like 4 albums and she was like amazing to them. I thought it was
It's pop.
Not really my style.
2000s pop.
Yeah, not really my style of music, and it was very British.
Yeah,
Especially the music videos. Oh my god.
Yeah.
So it kind of reminds me of that. You know, she was a singer for a little bit, and then she became an actress,
and
she
took off
with
acting.
She's like, let's forget about the music and focus on the acting.
Oh yeah, let's forget. Hey, bruv. Just forget about the music. What am I? Why am I going Swedish? Forget about it. I can't.
You're being a Swedish eggsy because of the bruv thing.
I was trying to do Cockney, but she's like a different type of Cockney.
She's a very.
I realize there's something like, oh, I will clean your chimneys right now. Yes, I will. Like she has like that. She has a very, hey, bruh. Like it's. I can't do it. It's almost like John Boyega's accent. Where,
yeah.
We're talking Billy, right?
Yeah, yes, Billy Piper. Yeah. I can't even imitate it. Anyways, we'll go back to.
Anyway,
I was like. Brie Larson's not British.
No, she's American.
No, American to the max.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got lots of British people in these movies playing sort of American voices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
half of these great, like these American icons, half of them are British actors. I love
you know, okay, really real quick. Marvel in this, in the comics, isn't Marvel a dude?
He's a male. He's Kree, and he's like blue.
I didn't know that.
He's like a blue Kree emissary, but he's also, he actually, Talos. They split Marvel's character between Annette Bening. I think that's Annette Bening, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And they split it in between Ben Mendelsohn, because that was the original Marvel's thing is a lot like that. Like, listen, I come to warn you, there's a war coming to your planet.
Yes.
The Kree are they're both going to converge. There's Skrulls already here. My people are coming. I don't want war.
Right.
I am in the middle here, so I reach out to you, the Avengers, and Carol Danvers, you're a part of S.W.O.R.D. because S.W.O.R.D.'s like the space shield.
Right.
And she happens to get blasted with like Kree energy, cosmic energy, and then she becomes Ms. Marvel.
Okay.
And then took over the role of Captain Marvel, because Captain Marvel was also a different character at one point.
Yes.
Okay.
But
he was a Guardian of the Galaxy, as a matter of the fact, but then went away or died or whatever.
Or whatever.
There's
a lot.
So she stepped up.
There's a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. They are. Yeah.
It's like there's a lot of Avengers. Every X-Man's been an Avenger at some point.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, remember when Cyclops led the Avengers?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Remember when Jean Grey was a Guardian of the Galaxy? I mean.
Right.
Yeah, that happened. It just there's a lot of crossover.
But wait, the big question: has Groot been an X-Man?
I fucking love that.
There you go.
So here, Jean Grey has died for the 50th time. She'll be back. Anyways, we'll have Groot do the eulogy this time. I am Groot.
I am Groot.
I am Groot.
I am Groot. I am Groot.
And like they're all sitting there trying not to like
Groot.
They're getting enraged and they're like, shh, we have to be accepting because we're the X-Men.
Thor's in the background like
crying.
Very moving.
He's
very
like
moving.
Sobbing. Yeah.
I understand. Grootish.
Yeah.
Just playing. Is this called Groot? I love everything. The language
you speak Groot?
Yeah, we took it as an elective.
Yeah.
In Asgard.
Oh,
I love
God.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all in all, I don't want to like get on a soapbox and start screaming feminism, but I walked out of this movie.
You could say what you said when you walked out, which was hilarious.
I walked out of this movie and I was like, damn, is this how boys feel when they like watch action films?
You yelled it at the top of your lungs. Like, is this how dudes feel when you walk out of Superman? Or like,
or like when you got to see Captain America? Like, right. God damn,
I thought that was hilarious.
And like, now in me, I have ingrained the words higher, further, faster to like motivate me and get me through. Like,
you've forgotten one word there.
Baby.
There you go. Yeah. Higher, further, faster, baby. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. It's so, this movie, it speaks to me on an emotional level. I vibe with this movie so hard. Like, this movie is very, very special.
Baby, vibe is a DC hero.
Don't start.
Sorry.
Oh, good. Yeah, here we go with more Marvel versus DC comparisons.
Anyways, next episode, plug it, Batman's 80th anniversary.
We're nowhere near done. She
brought up Marvel versus DC. It's just making a joke.
We are nowhere near done, sir. I know. We're nowhere near done. Because I have to get on my soapbox.
Oh, shit. We haven't talked about Goose yet. Anyway, continue.
We haven't about Goose, but
everybody's
I have to get on. It's my turn to get on my soapbox and say, where the fuck was all my Coulson? I wanted more Coulson.
That was a little disappointing.
They made such a big deal about him coming back for this movie. He's got like three lines and like four scenes.
Yeah, he's in it for all of about 10 minutes, and you're like, God damn it!
It's what I thought. Damn it! I wanted more Phil Coulson.
It hit all the right to me. I'm like, that's what I thought.
Right,
that's what I thought. Like
what
5 minutes
was
of screen
really
time.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, I did like how he was the reason why Fury believed in the shapeshifters, because one became Coulson.
Yeah,
and was like in the car chase with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
was the moment too. He's like, no, dude, I'm back at the Blockbuster. Oh my God.
I'm back at the Blockbuster and everyone's gone.
It's real.
What's going on? It's like, oh shit. And the Coulson in the car is like, you're dead, bitch.
Yeah. Young Nick Fury, you can't even say young. He's supposed to be like 45. He's like in his mid-40s, middle age. Because like, Sam Jackson's 71 or 72.
Something like
This Nick Fury is almost, this was 24 years ago. He's at least almost 50. So he didn't have to do too much de-aging because Sam Jackson doesn't age.
Okay, one of the fun things I have heard is that people are bitching. And weirdly enough, females complaining about the movie, about how Nick Fury wasn't Nick Fury enough.
Oh my fucking God.
He seemed a little different.
No. I know what this is. This is a lot of like, oh, he was being too feminine. He was being too soft. He was being too,
There was the cat scenes, but there was also the fact that he was being too goofy and not serious or suspicious enough. And
I'm
like,
and it's like, okay,
he's still like a new agent.
He's like a beat cop. Baby. Yeah. He's like a detective who flashes a badge at this point.
Yeah. Like, he's not Nick Fury, he's
well, the events of this film weigh on him for like 20 years, and that's when he gets really serious. He's like, oh yeah, that's right, there's this intergalactic threat. I better put together the Avengers, and like, so he's not that yet. It's his prequel pretty much almost as much as it is the prequel to almost everything else.
Like him being all cute and soft with Goose isn't just like cute filler. Like, it's supposed to show that he's not as hurt as he is in the new films, I like Nick. I thought he was great in this film.
There's a lot of people don't understand. There's people bitching about, this movie retcons so much. The cosmic cube, wasn't that at the bottom of the ocean? Faster than light travel, FTL engine. Why is that a central plot point? They've established jump gates. Wow, way to jump your own franchise movie, and you're sitting there like, did you even watch this movie?
Did you even watch the previous movie?
Did you watch Captain America the First Avenger when Howard Stark fetched it out of the ocean? Yeah. And then we probably went to the government. By the way, the base they're at in that movie is the base from the beginning of the Avengers. Out there in Nevada.
The underground base.
The very same base.
You were on the other side of me, so you didn't hear him tell me that.
Because they go through the same rock tunnel that they begin that awesome car chase in. And I'm like,
When Kobe Smulders is chasing down Loki and Hawkeye.
Yeah.
So they did Tesseract experiments there before.
Interesting.
And then it goes to Mar-Vell, apparently, and she takes it up there to her station without humans knowing, and that's where she began to kind of observe it. And then people also freak out, like, we've also established that, why would a lunchbox contain the Tesseract? And it's like, it's burned through other surfaces when it was used. Red Skull used
when
it.
When it's just sitting around, it's not...
Yeah,
it's
you probably shouldn't
harmless.
Handle it with your bare hands unless you're Asgardian or something.
Yeah.
But it should be fine in that.
Yeah.
Unless it got heated up and it starts reacting to something, and then it's going to go berserk. Yeah. And there's just so many people just like nitpicking, just finding reasons to hate
it. Yeah, they're trying to hate it, but like
trying so hard.
They
and, okay, besides, all right, if anyone.
Why didn't Fury page Captain Marvel before? And Kevin Feige had the best response. And he's like, maybe he did.
Yeah.
That was the best shut the fuck up. Like, how do you know that, like, not every single time he's like, I'll hit this pager just in case. But you remember in the first Avengers, he's very confident in his team.
Yeah.
When he's there in front of the Hydra Council, he's like, we're not nuking that city until I have faith in my team. They will lock the situation down. When I am absolutely assured they're going down, maybe we'll fire a nuke.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know right then he's not like, I better call Danvers.
Just in case.
Boop. Like, how do you know he hasn't done it when Ultron, you know, maybe she's just like never responded, and that's always kind of his last hope, like you gotta answer. So when he's disintegrating, he's like, one last time,
and
you
this
know,
is the one that she finally responds.
Hopefully, I hope to God, you know,
she
and then,
sees that. Well, it's also she probably responded to this one because she saw it also
knows,
mess around
she knows
it.
It's an emergency,
yeah,
because that's what she says basically. The end is kind of like for emergencies, and he's like, yeah, gotcha, like, I've modified it should
and,
last.
And you have to remember with the other things, like. At the very end of the movie, he forms the Avengers Initiative proposition.
That's like the end of the film.
Yeah. And he named it after her. And there's,
which is the best fucking thing.
Yeah, she was Carol
was
Carol
She's
Avenger
Danvers,
which is
so
pretty fucking
instead
cool.
of the protection proposition or
something
like
that.
That.
Yeah. I love it. He's like, the protector.
Yeah, the protection initiative or the protection proposition. He sits there and he deletes it and he makes it Avengers.
Yeah, I love it. I love that.
That's the fucking...
But,
They all fucking shit. They were named after a woman.
Right.
They got named after a woman. The fucking big, you know, the big team.
Her call sign as a pilot. And it sounds very pilot-like now you think about it. Like, you can imagine them being like, oh, hey, Goose, Iceman, Avenger, are you there? Like, it matches. It doesn't seem like it's too out of place.
So
Iceman, Goose, Maverick, Avenger.
Right.
Yeah.
It matches the call signs.
It feels so
now,
right.
Real quick. Snake! I have to go back to the lunchbox real quick. I wanted to say something. All right. The lunchbox, if there was ever, like, you know how she holds it, no problem. It's because she's got the Kree DNA and all the energy flowing through her.
Right.
It protects her. The weird cat alien thing grabs it. We see Thor and Loki multiple times grab it. Thanos holds it in his bare hand.
Right.
The ebony maw holds it in his hand.
Right.
You know, we've seen people, Red Skull grabs it, disintegrates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the thing. Well, disintegrates and he gets transported to.
He was more transported.
You know, yeah.
Right.
He gets transported across space to go out of the Soul Stone.
Right.
Vormir,
you're right. If there was ever a human being on this planet that could hold the Soul Stone, hold the Tesseract in their bare hands.
And not get hurt.
It would be the person on the cover of that lunchbox. The Fonz.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
So
good build up there. I'm like, who was on the cover? Oh yeah,
you forgot. It was the fucking Fonz.
Well, what was on the? I remember pointing
the
out
the coolest human being in the history of humanity.
I pointed out what was on the pinball machine they were playing.
Oh, it was Fuck.
I remember just yelling like, hey, that's also really 90s. What was it?
That would be a great thing to know for trivia night.
What was on the pinball machine that the little scroll kid walks over to like, I don't speak English because I'm scroll. Huh? Like, oh, yeah, I suppose if you had 10 years up here, you'd be like really,
you'd be on the high score too.
I'd have some ridiculous. Every line by Fury is fucking gold. Every line by half the characters is just fucking gold.
All of them deliver their lines so well.
There was one line, and it was between Brie Larson and, God, what's her name? I knew her name. I feel so dumb. Like, her black friend.
Yeah.
This in my head.
It's Monica's mom.
Right. See, we care about Monica because Monica's a major part
of
Sword.
I'm going to look it up. Give me a second.
Yeah, Monica's
but
a
you
major
were talking
part
about
of,
her.
Yeah, it's like there's a scene where, like, I think everyone in the theater was getting unusually moved out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Such a great fucking scene with great chemistry. It's like, we thought you were dead.
Oh, yeah, like, when they're sitting at the table together.
This has got to be hard for you. No, this isn't hard. What was hard was this.
Yeah,
this,
it was
this.
Me thinking that you were gone for 5 years.
I'm sitting there like, I'm just kind of like.
Yeah, you're like quietly wiping tears. Oof. Yeah. Because, she's...
And it comes out of nowhere, but, like, with such intensity out of that actress.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in anything else.
You've got really good Wi-Fi, and it's just not loading this page.
I'm like, everyone
have
your IMDb's ready.
They know that we're working.
Yeah.
They know that we're on a podcast live,
right.
So it's
and,
like,
you know, we speak from the heart, you know? So just bear with us when we look
for
things.
Wait, what's the daughter's name?
The character's Monica.
Yeah, the daughter's name is Monica.
Okay, well, the mom is Marie.
Okay.
Yeah, Marie Rambeau.
Well,
that's right, Rambeau. Rambeau is her last name.
It's more, French, like Rambeau.
Yeah, it's spelled B E A U, but yeah. Still, it's Rambeau. Fucking Rambeau.
But yeah, it's like she probably dies of cancer. Monica's a big part of Carol's life at some point.
Yeah.
He even takes the mantle of Captain Marvel in S.W.O.R.D. when Carol isn't there. So.
Yeah, I thought when the previews were coming out and we were looking at Monica, I was like, Riri Williams. But no. That was where it was gonna go, but
yeah. Apparently, Monica Rambeau, the little girl, becomes one of the many Miss Marvels down the line in the comics.
Yes,
so that'll be fun because this takes place
24 years before Endgame. So should she come back and there is S.W.O.R.D., she would probably be in charge of S.W.O.R.D.
That would be fun if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ended and they made Agents of S.W.O.R.D. a new series.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah,
we're S.W.O.R.D. We have green hair, some of us, and we're really intergalactic looking, but we're human because we experimented with Carol's DNA and stuff.
That begs a fucking question. Kree or blue?
Yeah.
Why the fuck were half of them not blue? Are these people that they've rescued and like indoctrinated?
It's possible.
They
do
get Marvel. No, they are. That's exactly what's happening. They don't have to be human from Earth. They could be Terrans from other planets.
Oh. Yeah,
but they're basically half, or they've been experimented on, or they've augmented themselves with Kree DNA to be faster, stronger, better fighters. And that's why, like, Annette Bening's eyes were really green, almost Hulk looking.
Only at the Supreme Intelligence.
Right.
When she was pretending to be human, she had like blue eyes.
That's why she has green is because the Supreme Intelligence, when you go to the Kree homeworld, it actually is this big old kind of green blobby face with like a lot of like dread tentacle things coming out of it.
Yeah.
So I think that's an homage to, she has the green eyes because that's the original. Right.
In my mind, it was because she was trying to make it seem like this person she was seeing from Kree in some fashion or form.
Yeah. Right. It's Kree-ish.
So as not to trigger any possible memories in her head. About this
the eyes are a little more alien.
Okay, speaking of the supporting characters.
Yes.
Okay, I do have one complaint about this film.
Yes.
I don't like the fact that when Carol's on Kree and she's working with her little Kree ragtag group of assassins and all that.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that the one other girl on the team doesn't like Carol. I don't like the fact that they pitted women against each other. I feel like that wasn't really.
But it kind of makes sense because she was there when she was rescued from Earth.
Yeah, but at the same time, like,
and she's holding a grudge.
The stupid throwaway line of, "Oh well, I just didn't like you." Like, really?
But we gotta throw it down.
Yeah.
Look, you have to remember. All right, what happened the last time this chick was on Earth? They failed their mission.
Yeah.
What happens when a Kree fails their mission? They probably get fucking punished.
Or they commit like Kree seppuku or like.
Yeah, something like that. So like in order to make up the fact that she was punished for failing her mission, they brought home Carol and she's like, "You're a constant reminder of my failure." I can see how that would be a thing. But then also you got the fact that, you know, she could just be racist because she's Kree.
Right.
She's blue. She's
an anti-human kind of thing.
It could just be that.
I guess. Okay.
By the way, can I just point out that the guy on the team who was the Kree with the beard was fucking awesome.
I love that guy. He reminded me of a Volstagg from Thor.
A little bit.
It's like a blue Volstagg on their team. And then they also brought back Korath.
Yeah. Well, the supporting characters are really good. Other than that one little tiny complaint, like the supporting cast is great.
Like I said, everybody's on fire. The chemistry in this movie is on fire.
Everybody's at 100%. Yeah. It's good stuff.
And for being, you know, purifiers who go around like cleansing Earth's, cleansing planets of Skrulls.
The Accusers.
And not Skrulls. Well, I'm talking about the Kree race in general. They all were pretty cool people up until we found out that they were, you know, murderers.
Right. They just really don't like Skrulls.
Apparently.
I mean, damn.
Yeah.
Now that I'm really thinking about it, like, they were even kind of assholes and Guardians. Yeah. Like, even though Ronan had, like, gone off and defected, basically. Right. Like, they're still kind of assholes.
Kree. We see two Kree in that movie.
Right.
We see Ronan.
Yeah, who's defected, and it's obvious that he's a bad guy.
He's gotten too extreme, and they're like, "Ooh, Ronan, we're not like really."
And then we see that one representative of the Kree Empire
they're talking to in the
who
beginning.
Glenn Close is like, "Can't you control your your fucking dude?"
Yes,
and they're like, "Not our problem. Peace out."
They're like, Ronan's he's an accuser, and he has a history, but he's very
our
scary.
Problem. Yeah,
let's not deal with him. Sorry, we're on the council. We're doing enough to join you guys over at the Nova Corps.
In my mind, with that, it's Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Who basically fucked up the Kree Empire.
Probably. They've been dealing with the fuck up since
And like, she's sort of given them some sort of alternate political stance.
Yeah.
And that was what made Ronan go,
peace out. Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to go accuse some motherfuckers.
Yeah. We need to be pure.
And then he came around. Yeah, he came around, saw Thanos, and was like, oh, Thanos has got it going on because he wants to cleanse
everything.
You know, half of everything. So
tangent,
it makes sense.
Tangent. My favorite part of the theater before the movie started was during the Dark Phoenix trailer.
Oh my God.
When I was doing the they are the broken when James McAvoy was on screen for the Dark Phoenix trailer.
Yeah, you can't shake
she
Kevin.
Is the broken.
Yeah,
right. The Kevin Wendell Crumb. He'll never be able to shake that. I mean, until he gets his hair back, he won't be able to shake.
Yeah,
Split
if you see him bald at all,
now, that's all anyone's gonna think about. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of his better roles.
You can still tell he's like ripped under trying to look meek in a wheelchair. Like, man, you didn't even lose the muscle and the weight for this role. You went straight from Shyamalan. You went straight over to Simon Kinberg.
You're
to
like,
go
hi,
do X-Men.
Yeah.
Right.
All right,
put me in the wheelchair. You're still buff as fuck, dude.
Just,
no one's gonna buy.
You made me remember that, and I was like, I had to throw that into here because it was fucking.
They have
great.
To make it pure.
Yeah.
Those
Jean, she is the broken.
All I'm thinking is, I almost made a pun, and I'm like, wait, that's like the name of an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode was like Live Kree or Die Hard. It was literally the title of one of the episodes, and I'm like, that's
probably
a brilliant pun.
Yeah.
We were talking about Kree, like, you know how it is in their society, man. You live Kree or
die
you die
hard.
Die
Hard was a 90s movie, wasn't it?
The first one.
89.
Was 89.
89.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Right, almost. Like, it was December of 89.
I think the second one was 91 or 92.
There you go,
And then there was like a 5-6 year gap.
It had been a while.
Yeah.
Then there was like
with
a 15-year gap, and then there was like a 5-year gap.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
Yeah. But back to Captain Marvel.
We're getting on toward the end of it.
Thought you
I
said back to cats.
Cats. There you go. Let's talk
that,
about
yeah.
Goose. Goose.
Goose, who isn't a cat.
He's a
Flurkin.
Flurkin. Yeah.
Flurkin.
It's like you can tell they were making up an alien word. Like,
yeah, they
how
were
can
making
we make
up
an alien
they
word.
They made up
like,
a name. Yeah,
yeah.
That was not in the comics.
And for those of you who watched the Netflix series Umbrella Academy,
oh my God, Ben.
Flurkin is apparently Ben's cousin.
Yes. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
I love the line
and the tentacles and shit.
I think Taylor says at one point like, oh God, what is that? It's a cat. That's not a cat.
That's not a cat.
And then he's like, what's a cat? Or I think they talk about Flurkins. He's like, but what's a cat? It's like a Flurkin that doesn't have a pocket. Dimension inside of its stomach, and like you're like, what? you don't exactly know how you're gonna imagine it until it Goose finally does what he's supposed to do biologically.
Yeah.
You're like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, dang, shoots these massive tentacles out of its mouth and just eats everything.
Eats the Tesseract and then eats like, was it like 4 or 5 of the Kree soldiers?
Yeah,
and
like at once.
He has just poisonous claws because
right.
Nick Fury goes blind because of this cat.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, people also really hated that.
Yeah.
But it fits Fury's character because like you see Coulson at the end, like
and he says like the last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye. Which is like...
That's all he said, right?
Yeah, and he really trusted that cat. He liked that cat. Like,
he
let that cat sit in his lap. And, oh, you're a good kitty. And just super cute with him. And
happy paws.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
He's sitting there. He's like, okay, I'm fine. And all of the crew, or the Skrull that are sitting there, they're like, no, he's not.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know?
Right. I think like that through the acting, they tell you what the issue is because they didn't actually tell you directly. It's poisonous. And we need to get you like a serum because you're going to die or lose that eye. You just kind of figure it out from the Skrulls being like, oh, dude, you should get that checked out because that's not going to go well.
Yeah.
But I love it. Like, is it true, sir? Did the Kree torture you? Did you not give it up or whatever? And you're just like, of course, because he's Nick Fury, the master of secrets. He probably...
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Right.
Those reports.
He probably spun like 50 different stories about his eye. Because like when you do see it in The Winter Soldier, it's not too bad. You're kind of like, he basically still has the eyeball. It's just cataract.
It's just ghosty. Yeah.
Right. Like, I thought he was like missing it or there should be this like this horrible just wound there. And you're just like, oh, no, he has the eyeball.
He's got the eye. It's just blind.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Flurk and Scratch kind of fits the bill.
Yeah.
And it does. There are the three lines on his
face. On
his face
the entire way through.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It always looks like it had been clawed out by something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a what breed? Is that a ginger tabby?
It's a
looks
tabby
like
cat,
it, yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a ginger.
It's just a really
tabby.
Basic tabby cat, yeah.
And fucking adorable, I would not want that in my
house.
So
during the press junket, they decided to interview the cat who plays Goose like once or twice. And they did one where it was a dude and he was holding up pictures of different Avengers and he's like, hey, who's your favorite Avenger? Cat who plays Goose. and he's like holding up different characters and the cat's not reacting. And he gets to the final one and he's like, okay, how about this? And it's Captain Marvel. And the cat comes up and like nuzzles his face up against the picture of Carol, of Captain Marvel. And it was the cutest thing. I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, that cat loved Brie Larson. Like they probably got the most lovin's on that set.
Or the Captain Marvel thing had like some catnip or something that smelled good on it, so the cat rubbed itself on purpose for the interview.
I like to believe.
I hate to ruin the magic.
I like to believe that cat and got so much loving and petting and really bonded.
Oh, you know that cat did.
Oh, here's a funny story I read today.
No,
Ben Mendelsohn interview.
Yeah.
Apparently they had like four. They actually had four cats. Sorry to ruin the magic. Probably one of them, but pretty much their star cat. Pretty much the number one.
The one that's probably doing the press junkets.
Right. Yeah. Deathly terrified of the actors in the Skrull makeup.
Aww.
They couldn't get it to do. Yeah. It was really afraid. So Ben Mendelsohn in Skrull makeup used to just kind of hold the cat and pet it. And he kind of became I was never really a cat person, but we figured we need to get this cat to get used to it. So they said, everyone cuddle the cat. I think it was a she. Mm-hmm. She's going to want to run away from you. She's going to be frightened, but just try to get a hold of her. And then they got one of the gooses there to get used to, but specifically Ben Mendelsohn, like, yeah, there's like me. I'm like in full Skrull makeup, just like, ah, pretty cat. Yes. Just looking like a
pretty
villain
good,
out of a Bond movie, just sitting over in my chair. Just like,
I love it.
Yeah. Like, that was funniest thing I've ever
heard.
That's
so cute. I love it. Yeah. Yeah.
One of the cats, they actually was used for studies to see what the outgoing image I think it came from Japan. They're able to see what cats can see.
Oh.
And then I went down this rabbit hole. Cause like, oh, this specific cat has a career in science, actually.
Cool.
And I saw a video of like when they put like a Vince Clortho helmet on the cat.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 years ago, and you could kind of, a computer made up what it thought the cat was seeing, and then they showed a human face. And when a cat looks at a human, it's like semi feline because they see feline.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
yeah.
really trippy because there's just a human face, like, hey, and it's like part human, and it's really goddamn scary.
Yeah.
Sorry to go tangent on that.
No.
Just a fun little like science thing.
Same reason. It's fun fact. You're talking about cats and science. The cats don't meow at other cats. Cats may, you know, those little like purruping, those little like noises and sounds they make.
Yeah,
but
that's I'm how, nodding. You can't
that's
hear
how,
me.
That's how cats actually communicate. The only reason why cats meow at us is because they think we're big kittens. They see us as big, big kittens. And that's how the babies meow. The mamas meow at the babies. And that's the only reason why they meow at us is because they see us as babies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Babies that feed them.
Yeah.
What's the word? It's an appeal.
Yeah.
That they're making.
Yeah.
To an alpha or a larger
creature. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
How that works. But
so let's talk about the end credit sequence. The first one.
Hold on.
Okay.
I kind of wanted to talk about one scene in particular before we get there.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. It's the final battle.
Yeah.
All right. She's blowing up all the ships.
Yeah.
Ronan and his crew are like, we'll be back. They take off. And it's Jude Law versus her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on, Viers. Let's do it. Throw the weapons down. But and me.
He's got his gun out. And he's like, okay, you know what? Fine. There's no way I'm going to win blast versus blast. So I've got to convince her to not use her powers. So he puts the gun away. And he's like, all right, come on, you and me, one more time.
Remember how the movie started? Wink, full circle.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if he says on the train in the very beginning, like, if you knew how to use your powers properly, you could beat me without them.
Right,
And
that's
so
like his
you could knock me down without
yeah.
using them. So, like, at this one, he's like, I'm not going to win. The only way I'm going to win is if I convince her
that
to go one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, one-on-one, no powers. And what does she do?
So he sits there and he spends like a minute trying to convince her to go hand to hand, no
powers.
Doing the
villain monologue.
Yeah. You're nothing without your powers. So face me like a true Kree and what the fuck ever. And like, if you can face me with your powers, you can face me without them. And fight me without your powers. Fight me hand to hand. And all she does is fucking blasts him center chest with her fucking her proton beam.
Photon.
Photon.
We're getting specific.
And
here.
he goes fucking flying back and slams up against a rock.
Not just one, but she double fists it.
Yeah.
Double
that's right.
beam,
she goes,
same
one, two,
time.
Yeah.
Just fuck you. Boom.
Oh my fucking God.
It's like the it's this Indiana Jones moment.
Yes.
Oh,
I immediately thought of
they
that.
They gave
indie
it to Brie Larson.
Too.
Like, hey,
yeah.
I'm doing the sword fireworks here. Like, bomb, done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
That was so great. The guy with the
it
sword.
Is.
And the story behind that original one with Indiana Jones is that he just had a broken ankle or whatever.
Well,
he
was
had a bunch
his stomach.
Of, yeah.
Everything was wrong.
Oh, okay.
He was just.
He had a bunch of back pain and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
like, I can't do this
he
stunt.
Was like,
so all he did
I have
was,
a gun.
Boom.
Boom.
Yeah. yeah.
And then they thought it was.
It's iconic.
The actor went with it. He was like, wah! Like
yeah.
he fell down.
It's fucking iconic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They had
yeah.
this whole thing planned. Like,
that,
so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that sequence. That sequence is so good. I love that sequence so much because they spend the entire film going, you are a woman, and because you're an emotional woman, you are weak, and you need to not be weak with your emotions. You need to be strong and emotionless. And, you know, it plays into the whole women are too emotional thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, and, it's so good. It's so good to see her just fucking blast him in the chest and walk up to him and go, I don't have anything to prove to you. And she fucking packs him in his stupid little ship and she fucking sends him off. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, yes, yes, you know, it's the best.
I don't
it's
have
incredible.
To validate myself to you.
Yeah, I don't have to validate myself to anybody.
It can
you know?
Also be that he, you know, she's been convinced she's Cree for like 15
right.
or 10 years. And that's also another way of her almost saying like, Anna Cree.
Yeah.
Or if I am, I'm half Cree.
That was 6 years, I
yeah,
believe.
Right, six years.
Years.
I'm human. Like, it's like yeah. a real Cree would brush and a Cree, dude. Anyway, like that's kind of how it also
so
comes
good.
Off.
I've got your blood flowing through my veins, but
that's
fuck
what
you.
She said.
There's such
yeah.
there's so many good moments like that
yeah.
when she sits there and she, you know, her being called, her saying, her being told to smile more, and then the guy calling her a freak and walking away, and she steals this fucking motorcycle. The whole I'm just a girl fighting montage is still good. A little on the nose, but still so fucking good. Her sitting there and just double blasting this fucking asshole in the chest with her stupid laser beams. It's great. It's
I
amazing.
Think one of my favorite scenes is with her proving just how fucking awesome she is when she's just escaped the mind probe and she's got the cuffs on her fists.
Yes.
And she's like, you guys wouldn't happen to get these things off, would you? And they don't say anything, so she just beats the shit out of them.
Yeah.
With barefoot, with her
fists. With the things on, yeah.
With her fists and everything covered, so she can't shoot any photon
right.
blasts or anything. And she just kicks their ass, and there's that one guy, he's like, rah! And she goes, rah!
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking great.
I loved it. There was like, I think I noticed that right in that scene specifically, there's two grades of Skrull. There's like the ones that they were cool. They were like animatronic and prosthetic, like mixed. They were like these little, almost like Moria goblin. They had this like Moria, the minds of Moria looked.
Yeah.
Like, oh, those must be like lesser Skrulls, like the henchmen. You could tell that there was like this animatronic aspect. They weren't even CG. They looked really cool. And then you have the higher Skrulls, who are clearly the actors in the prosthetics.
I'm pretty sure that in the same way that the outfits from Starship Troopers have been reused a bajillion times in movies. Like Firefly and other shit
they
like that.
They made too many of them. They're still sitting around.
Yeah.
Probably.
I feel like that guy, that Skrull with the bug eyes, was one of the like goblin outfits from Lord of the Rings.
It probably was.
Repurposed
and
painted green.
It could have been, but I was digging like, ooh, I think the first image of the Skrulls, people were like, I'm getting a Piccolo vibe from like the Dragon Ball movie. And people were just kind of shitting on it.
Yeah.
And then
he was yellow.
Well, I'm also I'm hearing that a lot. A lot of people are like, "Oh, she's Gohan, she's Goku."
Well, yeah.
Okay.
The end, she goes full
now,
fucking
now,
Super
hold
Saiyan.
On, hold on. I was thinking about this earlier, but we moved on past it. When she goes full glowing hair, floating in the fucking.
Hey, whoa! She went full cosmic. You never go full cosmic.
No, when she went full cosmic, I was like, if they ever try redoing a Dragon Ball Z movie. That is the effect they have to use for Goku.
Yeah.
Like, they need to base Super Saiyan Goku off of that look right there.
Yeah.
Make that. Because that was...
That was about as spot on as it gets.
Oh.
Yeah. I've never... Yeah. You're the one who, yeah, you like Dragon Ball a lot more than I do.
And both of you. Derek is not into it, and you are into it.
The only
person here who's in the Dragon Ball Z as part of the main group here is Nick.
Yeah.
And that leads to a segue. Nick sent a picture to the group chat.
I fucking saw it. I don't want to talk about it.
I want to talk about it.
Okay, so when we're recording this, today's the 14th of March.
Yeah.
Today, the second 2.5 minute trailer for Avengers Endgame dropped, along with the big theatrical
poster. Yeah.
And
someone in the poster, underneath Captain America's shield, right next to Rocket Raccoon in the poster, there's a bunch of dust in the background, and someone has highlighted it, made it zoom out, and said, "Hey, I found Spider-Man," which is just fucking great.
It's so fucked up. I love it.
I'm looking at it now. I'm like, oh, God. Right as you said it, I got it. Yeah. Apparently,
Diane Guerrero wasn't credited on the poster.
Yeah, she's there, and everyone's like, what the fuck? And so Marvel literally changed it.
They had to take the poster down, redo it, and go, hi, okay, you're right.
It was like this four-hour thing. Like, they took it back down, and people were like, hey, where's the Endgame poster? I want to see it. And they had to re-upload it because they're like, hey, there.
We put her.
We went right to the top, to the professionals, to the poster makers.
Sorry.
Yeah, because she's on the poster. Yeah, and everybody's like, what the fuck? Why didn't you credit? They credited everybody else that's on the poster. Yeah.
In my mind, that's one of those things that they just forgot about. Kind of like how they forget people for the in memoriam segments of the Oscars.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
But the dust behind Captain America is Spider-Man, apparently. God. And it's fucking great.
I found Peter Parker.
I found Spider-Man.
Right. Well,
okay,
right.
We're winding down. Let's hit those final.
Let's talk about
sequences.
The last sequence
first, then the mid-credit sequence. Okay, because that one's the better one.
Okay, I got a fucking bone to pick with Marvel. I do. Okay, so they started, I think, during Homecoming, where they'll do the first. They do two end credit sequences.
There is shawarma. Was that useful?
It might have started in Avengers.
But it was paid off. Though. It was a joke
from earlier.
That was a payoff.
Yeah.
Okay. You know.
Feel like it really picked up during Homecoming, where they do two end credit sequences, where they do one in the middle of the credits and one at the very, very end.
And the one in the middle is pretty good. And the end is
I don't remember the one at the end. I don't remember the one at the...
The one at the end of his Homecoming was when he's got the web shooter and it shows the Spider-Man logo at the top.
That's Civil War. And mid-credits of Scorpion meeting Vulture in prison.
Oh, yeah, that was
lame. Oh,
that's
right. Okay.
That was kind of lame. But,
okay. That's part of the overarching story.
But the problem with that one, with the Scorpion one, though, is that no one fucking knew who it was. You had to actually, like you were looking at you're like, oh, he's going to tell who it is. You had to be looking at the other guy.
Well, he has the tattoo.
And analyzing the Scorpion tattoo. Like, right. Oh, wait, is that Scorpion?
Or early in the film, he's been identified. Mac Gargan, also known as the Scorpion or whatever. It doesn't say the Scorpion, but Mac Gargan. And he just zooms in on the Scorpion tattoo and he's like, oh.
Yeah,
but that's more of a scene for Adrian, for him to, like, oh, he's got a set of morals. He's not going to sell out Peter just yet.
Yeah.
So it plugged into the rest of the film. Sorry, let's go on.
No,
Captain
it's
Marvel.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They have two credit sequences, one in the middle, one at the end. I feel like it started with Homecoming, where at the very end of the Homecoming credits, they do that fucking Captain America PSA thing. And
I thought patience. But that's because Infinity War was coming out soon.
I thought it was stupid.
And they were just like, we know you want an end credit sequence, but like, if we put something here that gives something away too soon, it's going to fuck everything up.
Yeah.
So, like, we had those PSAs in the gym class earlier, so it's paying off that joke. The one that I know bothers you more than that is the ant.
Yeah, okay, so Ant-Man and the Wasp did
it
too, where they had the mid-credit sequence where Hope, Janet, and Hank are standing there, and they all
get
dusted, and he's stuck in the quantum realm. And then the credits keep going, and at the very fucking end of Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, we see the TV, and it's got the emergency broadcast system. We're like, oh, shit, this is the first scenes we're going to see about what happened after the snap. And it just pans over to the drum playing, the ant playing the drums.
Not Anthony.
Yeah.
And it is the stupidest, most pointless, I hated it.
I thought that it was clever and very, like, fuck you, we're not telling you anything.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly how it felt, is fuck you, we don't care about what you want.
No, it's not we don't care about it. It's just like, we know you guys are very impatient, so we're going to tease you with something and then not give it to you, but it's still funny. Like, right. I went back and rewatched the entire MCU up to this point.
Yeah.
And second time around, it's actually pretty funny.
Okay.
Like, when you first see it, though, you're like, you motherfucker. Same thing with Infinity War. Thanos will return. You motherfuckers.
They didn't really do it, save for Thanos will return in Infinity War. Yeah. And, like, even that, you're sitting there, and that feels a little bit more right, because you go, oh, you son of a bitch, you know? Like, that feels more apt and appropriate, and whereas it wasn't really.
But with this one, we've got,
this one was equally stupid.
It was Goose returning the Tesseract.
It was Goose basically coughing up a Tesseract hairball, and it was stupid.
I thought
it was absolutely pointless.
I thought
there is one point to it. We now know how it got directly into Fury's custody, because he has the first time you kind of see it. Yeah. Sorry, we didn't even know what it was. Before Captain America came out, that was the very end of Thor. Was him being like, ah, Dr. Selvig, welcome. There's something we need you to see. You're a specialist now in cosmic whatever. What is it? Exactly. We don't know what it is. And they open it, and it's the cube in the box they created to channel it. So now you know how he got that. And he'd been holding on to it for 20 years, probably through S.H.I.E.L.D. And they found a way to contain it in a safe container so it doesn't go off.
Yeah. And with Selvig's research into stuff, he's like, you know what? You're pretty good with the space shit. Maybe you should.
That's what that scene was. And then you discovered what it was in Captain America, the First Avenger.
I, you might not like it, sweetie, but I thought it was cute.
It's kind of a cute cat joke, because, oh, of course the cat would sit there and hack up a fur
what,
ball.
What was the best part of Puss in Boots? When you first meet him, when he's hacking up the hairball.
Yeah, well,
prepare to.
I mean,
that was fucking hilarious. Right.
Okay.
I mean, if you're a cat person.
Yeah, but let's.
If you get it.
You don't like it. I think it's cute. I'm not sure what Derek thinks about that and the hairball
sequence. It's not essential. It's
essential.
Cute. It's supposed to be cute.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
It was cute.
It achieves nothing
and
for the most part.
They don't want to spoil too much more about Endgame.
Right. We've talked about spoiler culture. They don't want to risk the social media shitstorm.
Which is funny because right after the movie, the mid-credit sequence.
We know it's coming, though.
Is Endgame.
That's not spoiling.
And I thought that was pretty cool.
It was. It was good. I liked that bit.
Everyone lost their shit, and then Derek lost their shit on everyone losing their shit.
It was meta.
It's, you know, everyone was like, woo, she's there. And he's like, oh, you mean the person they've been building up who's going to be in the movie? Yes. Fuck you.
I know. I was like, no way. No. No way.
Whoa.
What?
Watch the levels.
What? Oh, my God. You mean she's going to be an Endgame? Holly. And you're just like, don't be a dick. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm being a dick. Sorry, guys.
Don't be a dick.
I went on like this huge, loud tirade. I'm also half deaf, so sometimes I can't tell how loud I am.
Yeah.
And he's like, everybody heard you. I'm like, oh, sorry. Shit. Yeah. Like, I thought it was us.
No, but yeah, it was.
I thought the mid-credit sequence was fine.
Yeah, like they were all flipping
that
out.
That feels
the
essential.
The pager turned off.
That feels essential. Yeah. This one, I like this one a lot better than the fucking cat one.
And you know that's gonna be in Endgame.
That's probably how it's gonna start.
It's very similar to the Bucky Captain America Falcon thing, where they're like, we're gonna need help if we're gonna go up against Tony. And Falcon's like, I know a guy. And
they go get Ant-Man.
That was at the end of
Ant-Man
saying, hey, Civil War's coming. They usually put half of a scene from the next film.
In
the mid-credit sequence.
Well, it depends on the movie, because they didn't quite do that for like Guardians for Volume 2 for Guardians. They had the scene there where it's like Sylvester Stallone and
for the second one
and Ice Michael Rosenbaum.
We ought to be the Guardians again, because remember, we're the original 70s team. Let's do it.
We got to come back and get together. It's a shame that it took Yondu's death to bring us all together again. You know,
right?
And I like how it's Ice Michael Rosenbaum.
That's all you can't remember. The lady is also
the mom from Crazy Rich Asians, who I can't remember the name
of. Michelle Yeoh.
Wasn't she also like the crazy Asian pirate lady from Pirates at World's End?
Yes.
Probably.
Sweet. And probably. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
She's like,
that basically made her
without star. Sounding racist, she's the token old Asian woman.
She usually plays older characters. They make her look like an old Asian lady.
I'm picturing what's his name from Big Trouble. He played that character and everything. You met him.
David Hong.
Yeah, you met him. Like, was it Monster Palooza?
I did. But is it David? I know his last name's Hong. James Hong, I think.
Either way.
It is Hong. Last name is Hong. He has that very recognizable voice.
Yeah.
I grew up in San Francisco.
Yeah. He's that character for males, and she's that character for females.
Yeah, Michelle Yeoh's for women. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the mid-credit sequence, it does its job. So
yeah,
you're like,
it does
hey,
what it's supposed to do.
And
yeah.
It sort of reminds you, like, oh, yeah, that's right. This is a solo movie.
Yeah.
Endgame's coming.
Woo! Yeah. And fuck, we're less than six weeks away.
Yeah.
When this comes out, it's going to be like five. Ooh-wee. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's coming.
Oh, God.
I'm excited. But, all right.
Do you want to put a number on it? Or like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, I'll put a number on it.
Put a number on
one
it.
1 to 10. Somebody else go first.
On its own, pretend it's not even a Marvel movie. Pretend it's just like, hey, we're just doing a superhero movie. 7.5 Marvel bias. It's up to like an 8.5.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Everything, it's there.
If we're going by itself, if we're not counting the MCU,
pretend nothing existed and this just came out as its own movie.
That intro knocks the number down quite a bunch.
It kind of speeds through the opening 20
minutes.
Yeah,
the opening is like, you have to know something. Right. And then we fill you in afterwards.
But with that Marvel bias where you're like, hey, listen, it's 22 films in.
Everything comes together.
Right.
Yeah.
We know what the Kree Empire is. We understand. Okay, she's clearly on an alien planet. They even say what planet it is.
I'd say without the MCU existing by itself, this movie would be about a 6 or 7.
Okay. Yeah, it's
probably
seven,
like a
6.5, 7.
Right. Yeah. But like with the MCU and knowing everything, it's definitely like an 8 or a 9.
Right.
Because this was just... Oh my god!
Yeah, mine's 9 across the board.
I know you've got to be 9 across the board because she fucking looks like you. So
okay,
definitely helps.
You know, if it means something to you and you're sitting there like this meant so much, you're like fucking awesome.
Then, yeah,
like we're not here to piss
not,
on it.
And
you know?
Like as a regular old superhero film, yes, it picks up.
If we're talking about,
goes a little fast in some parts. It goes a little slow in some parts. But that's just kind of how movies can be.
Yeah.
I mean.
Right. And also, there's a lot of world building that would need to happen that they didn't quite 100% get into.
Yeah,
right.
So that's, if the MCU didn't exist and it was just this movie, we'd be like, what is happening?
That's the reason why it's not at a 10 for me. There's some story building elements that are missing if it was just all by itself.
Yeah.
But like, as an origin film, this is fine. I mean, you know, everybody sits there and they go, oh, well, we're sick and tired of origin stories. This shouldn't have been an origin movie. And it's like, fuck, dude, y'all weren't complaining like this when Ant-Man came out. You were praising it on how it got back to form and how it was just like the first Iron Man. Like, the only reason why you're fucking complaining about it is because it's a girl that's doing it. You know? And you don't like the fact that girls get to be superheroes and girls get to be stoic and you know, neutral, well, and they go through a proper emotional character arc. Like, so fucking sorry.
If we look at it from the perspective of the world building thing, with Captain Marvel, that does decrease the score a bit.
Yes.
With Ant-Man, it's basically our world, but there's shrinking tech.
Yeah.
So there's no space stuff going on. There's no aliens.
I'll say this about the interesting editing there at the beginning.
That does help.
The one good excuse you could have, it has a purpose in the film, is you are supposed to start in the middle of her story. She doesn't even know who she is.
Like, that's one of the unique things about
the
whole
element. You can use that as a defense. It still feels jarring, but at least the film told you there's a reason for it.
Right.
After a while, you're like, that's why.
Yeah.
Like, it's just mismatched memories. You're not sure what's really happening.
Right.
She has no idea what's going on.
This is semi-unrelated, but I had a really funny thought. When the entire world figures out what happened with the snap, do you think the first people to figure it out was Baskin Robbins?
Man, they know everything.
Baskin Robbins always finds
out,
man.
That's right, man. They were ahead of the snap.
Oh,
they had a snap-proof bunker, and they found out, make it out of ice cream. Ice cream is snap-proof.
Their new snap. Snap-proof flavor.
Hey, we're going to market off of this. We got the snap. So I don't know what would be in it. Pretzels, pieces of gold.
Oh, God. can you imagine, though, like...
I'm surprised.
Infinity flavor.
When frickin' Ant-Man came out, that Baskin-Robbins didn't partner with Marvel for some promotional thing.
There wasn't any like Marvel. There wasn't any Ant-Man special ice cream.
There wasn't. Yeah,
I was thinking about. I remember like specifically being like, I wonder if they have like this Ant-Man related kind of tie-in like flavor.
No, I think they were just promoting that smoothie, that mango smoothie thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was it.
Right.
Yeah.
But
As a solo film, it's a 9.
Yeah. Now, this is something we haven't done for any other characters.
Okay.
But the movie we've rated.
Right.
Okay, we're giving it, like, you know, 7.5, 8.5, whatever it is.
Between a 7 and a 9. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. For everything. Now, we haven't done this for the characters. How would you rate her as a character?
Oh, she's up there with Tony Stark for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Not only, like, as a, she's just like Tony. She reminds me so much of Tony. And, like, with the humor and her emotion and her, it's, she reminds me a lot of Tony, but she also has a very, there's a connect, especially with me, because she's a girl. And so she goes through all the things that a girl goes through, and it's that's really relatable. And I relate to Carol in a female way, in the same way that I relate to Tony in a mental health way. You know, and that's why, at least for me, Carol's up there very.
So what you're saying is that if we fuse them together into one person, it would be you.
Probably, yeah.
Tony's mental health issues and Carol's femininity, and that's you.
Along with their general dual attitudes, yeah. Like, Carol and Tony are up there on the top.
You've
two
been awfully quiet, Derek.
No, you forced me to think, so I was kind of.
Yeah,
what about you?
Me, I would definitely rate her up there as one of the best people out there. I mean, I personally, I think I like her more than half the Avengers. Fuck, I definitely like her more than Vision or Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, I like her better than fucking Hawkeye. God, I like her better than any of the other fucking female characters we've gotten in the Marvel Cinematic Universe so far.
I don't know. I really like Maria Hill. She just does. She takes no shit from anybody.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You also
have plus seen I her have the How About Your Mother thing going
not
on.
Not only
so.
That, but you've seen her in S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
She's only like 2 or 3 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D., but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she came in for cameos.
Like, fucking. There was I read a Tumblr post not too long ago.
I should show you the S.H.I.E.L.D. episode with Lady Sif.
I've seen those, actually.
Those episodes?
That was when I was still watching, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Those are like early season one. Anyway, but there was a post I read not too long ago where they were talking about how much they liked Captain Marvel because they didn't make her regret her powers, where you get like Scarlet Witch and you get Black Widow and they're, you know, they're these like, I'm so broken because of what I've had done to me and I'm so fragile and like it's something along those lines where
I think that the thing, the difference is that they had the shit done to them and they had full power at maximum from the very beginning. They had like full power at maximum from the very beginning.
Right.
But like Carol, she had the power and she woke up with a restraining bolt in her neck.
Right.
So she sort of gradually like I want to use them. Let me use them. You shouldn't use them. I want to use them. And then when she finally broke free of the restraining bolt, it was like, yeah, I'm going to fucking use them. I'm going to kick ass. And she at that point had mastered how using it felt enough that she could control herself.
Right.
Whereas Scarlet Witch was like, I can fuck everything up at once and I don't know what I'm doing. And you saw her like in the opening thing, she's playing with the blocks in that after credit singer and she looks like fucked up. And then again, she's also had the problem with her twin brother dying. That didn't help.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and then there's that with the explosion in Sokovia.
Yeah,
not Sokovia. Yeah, wherever it was.
It was Sokovia. Wait, what? Wait, explosion of what?
The explosion with Crossbones. That was in Wakanda.
Yes. No.
No.
Yes.
Now, that was in non-technologically advanced Wakanda, because that's why the Wakandan president and T'Challa were there.
Right.
That's why they were there.
It was
at
one
the
of their
Sokovia
territories.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. It was one of their non like super advanced things.
Between Morocco and Wakanda somewhere. Like,
yeah.
Right.
They were super like
a proxy state.
They were the ones like, we want this to happen. We're going to be in charge of this because this happened on
our
soil.
Our turf, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to call the Sokovia Accords because Sokovia had a whole section lift up and
get
this right by Tony Stark's creation.
Like,
but hit us.
Right. I saw Captain Marvel again and it was fun. And I'm not going to apologize for enjoying seeing a woman hero be ridiculously overpowered and glowing and having fun with it. It gave me so much joy. I never want to see another Joss Whedon-style female character with powers who's fragile and damaged and just can't control it. Fuck that. Fuck your Dark Phoenixes and Scarlet Witches. I want women kicking ass with a smile on their face and no apologies after. And that's me. That's me. I get that because, yeah, I don't... Yeah, this fucking... I'm so tragic and broken and I'm a... We don't see this with male characters.
Hey, guys. Editing David here. Just wanted to let you know that there's a section of this podcast that I've removed because I was a total douchebag. Madison went and was talking about this person's comment online, and that person insulted Joss Whedon, and that kind of put me in a foul mood. He's one of my favorite directors, and as much as I love this movie, Captain Marvel, and as much as I love the fact that women now have someone to look up to, Madison said that there aren't any male characters that, you know, have tragic backstories and manage to fight through despite. And I was like, that's the majority of them. I listed off, you know, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, to name a few people. And it kind of came off as me being a total ass to my girlfriend, which is not what I intended, but it really hurt. So in order to, you know, sort of save face, even though I've told you all about this, I'm not going to put that part in because it comes off as me being 100% a douchebag. And that's just not what we want on this podcast. We want to be positive. We want to be encouraging. And I want women to feel as awesome as Madison did coming out of this movie. So I've left that part out, but I've told you about it, so it's not like I'm, you know, it's not like revisionist history. So thank you guys for listening. At a certain point, Madison closed herself off, and in order to try and save the conversation, that I completely destroyed, Derek jumped in with the following.
But Derek,
where would I put Carol?
Oh, yeah.
Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, top five. I actually only recently, lifelong Spider-Man fan, both Miles Morales, Peter Parker, they're now part of like the same coin. So Spidey was number one. Also a big Incredible Hulk fan, so Hulk's number two. Now it's just kind of become, I put Thor at number one after Infinity War and Ragnarok combined. So it's like Thor, Spidey, and then I think I'm beginning to shove Captain Marvel right there, right beneath Spider-Man. And then we'll see where they go with this character.
She was pretty cool.
I'm kind of sitting here like, yeah, I mean, when it's all over, done and over, like, yeah, give us the sequels. Let's see where this goes. Let's see how she's going to be used from here on out.
I think, okay, back, just to go back, Madison, to that thing we were talking about a second ago.
Yeah.
That made you upset. I'm sorry. I think the reason why I'm so adamant that Tony Stark especially is that kind of a broken person, when you say that there's no male like that, is because I know about the demon in a bottle storyline from the comics.
Right.
Well, not that. When Iron Man came out, it was refreshing and it became this huge hit because you had seen a superhero portrayed in that way. Who think about that. When his story's still done, he still has all of his demons. He's like, oh, great, I created the Iron Man suit. I can now be a superhero. He's still kind of a drunk, a braggart. You know, a womanizer.
Plus,
that was really original at that
plus
time.
Plus, like, right at the moment, they didn't do the demon in a bottle storyline, but Tony Stark still got an addiction and it's his suit.
Yeah,
right.
His addiction was the alcohol, but he switched over to the suit.
But what Madison meant is, like, historically, you usually did just kind of get Superman. Hi, yeah. I'm perfect. I get to flaunt my power. Here, allow me to save this person in a millisecond. Let me freeze the top of this lake. And then, you know, Tony Stark was the beginning of, sure, there's been damaged males. And it so happens, yeah, it's mostly the Marvel.
Yeah, if we're talking just Marvel, then for the most part, the Marvel characters have been.
But what
like,
she meant is before that, it's like, you know, you didn't see, you never got, you know.
A lot of the women were very Joss Whedon-esque with the brokenness and stuff.
And then the men got to have fun and smirk and kick ass and be uber powerful. Same, they finally gave it to Carol Danvers.
And you'll wonder why I don't like Joss Whedon.
I happen to think that Buffy is a very good role model for women, but okay.
She got to be both. Or what? He let Joss talk about that. He can go on and on about that. Personally,
yeah, well,
a Faith.
He is a talker.
A Faith fan here. So, my favorite Slayer, but let's not talk about Buffy.
Yeah, let's, yeah.
All right.
Let's also talk about the numerous
anyway,
other people.
Anyway,
Nine across the boards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me. 9 across
you
the board.
You were a 6 or a 7 without Marvel?
Without Marvel. With Marvel, I was like an 8.
Yeah, so that's where I am.
Yeah, you and I are about the same. Yeah.
Only caveats are it's a solo film, and you're just like, you know what? The only thing I say about that is I think what was really successful was Civil War doing both Spidey and Black Panther, and all of a sudden it began to click where people were like, oh, you can introduce other characters in these other movies.
Yeah.
They get their solo movie.
Shit, Guardians introduced like 5-6 people with no problem.
You see them do it well in Civil War, but then you see the opposite end of the coin with Justice League. You know,
well, they did it up front and fucked it all. Well, Marvel did it right.
Aquaman, Cyborg. Wonder Woman, Cyborg.
No, well, Wonder Woman had her movie before Justice League.
But
technically she was introduced in Batman v Superman.
Exactly the problem with that.
Yeah, but after Justice League introduced Flash, Aquaman, and Cyborg before they ever had a film.
Yeah.
So we have decreed Captain Marvel a hit.
Yeah.
Definitely.
There we go. Holy shit. That's going. Hello, Twitter. That's going. We have decreed.
Oh, God.
Oh, I didn't even catch my own pun.
There
we
go.
All right.
We say it's good. The internet, fuck them all. Everyone's like in this battle. 10 versus 0. Oh. And it's like, people.
Come on. We've been going for an hour and a half. It's an hour and 24 minutes on the timer.
Shit.
I know it's been a long episode. I apologize, folks.
Good,
but before
I love women,
yes, I do too.
I mean, yeah,
different way, but I do too. Yeah. I want to do one thing before we end.
Go ahead.
Endgame predictions.
Oh, okay.
Like just pertaining to Captain Marvel, or
pertaining to anything.
Okay,
because we know she's gonna be part of the movie.
Captain Marvel is the key to defeating Thanos.
I'll go heel on this. I really hope she gets an amazing action sequence and is integrated well into the team.
Yeah.
But I don't want her to be a get out of jail free card.
She's not. Yeah, I don't think she's going to be the killing blow. Because
everybody keeps going, watch out, Grimace, here comes Cat. Everyone's like, oh, Carol Danvers is coming from. Like, I hope she was created by one Infinity Stone. This guy still has all of them.
Yeah.
I need this to
go. With a damaged cuff, though, so
It might be broken.
We don't know.
Right, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
I want this to be handed off to the OG team so we can send them off.
Yeah.
But there should be a great moment for all of the newer characters that are about to inherit everything.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all I want out of that film. Even if it's given to Captain Marvel kicking the shit out of him, still cool.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I want a moment where she gets to fucking kick the shit out of him. Yeah.
Everyone really should.
I want a moment where all the OG six, like you said, get to deal the last six blows. But the one exception I want, and I'm going to actually be really upset if they don't do it, is Nebula is the one who gets to kill Thanos.
Did that happen?
The game got upped. I'm like, you know what? I made my prediction when we walked out. I want Thanos to live.
That's right. Yeah.
I want Infinity Watch. I want them to decide. There's no way this is going to. The only way this ends, we don't destroy the Infinity Stones. We take care of them. And that's how you can get these characters out of the picture without killing them.
I mean, yes, but at the same time, before Thanos even had the Infinity Stones, he was still hurting Nebula.
And, he did terrible things.
And like, so, like, even if we do the Infinity Watch thing, cool, like, that's fine, but, like, Nebula gets to kill Thanos.
Maybe he can die and do a cool after credit, kind of like the ultimate, I'm still here, you know, the fun, chuckling villain. He faked his death one more time and he's still
with the reality stone.
Apparently, he's getting his own trilogy.
Okay.
Whether that's a prequel or it takes place, they do Thanos' adventures across the. Because you got to remember, he's been an anti-hero. He's even been full hero. He's gone from heel to face. He's a very popular Marvel character.
We'll see how that pans out when it comes to films, because there's a lot of people who are going, no,
I did
he's
not
a
know
villain.
That Thanos was getting a trilogy, and in my mind, it immediately went to that comic you were telling me about, Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Stealing baby Thanos from the crib and, like, just
adventuring around the universe. Read Cosmic fucking Ghost Rider. It's only four issues. It's a what if story. Holy shit, that's the comic of the year. It's Frank Castle as the spirit of
Punisher.
He decides to kill Thanos in the crib, but Thanos is like a badass back then, so he beats the fuck out of him, and he's like, "How are you like this already?" He just like straps him on the front. And he's like, "I'm gonna take you through time and show you the terrible shit.
Let's
you
go,
did.
Bitch.
Yeah, hold on, kid. It's like the most heavy metal thing you've like ever read. Sorry,
God.
Thanos in this movie, I feel that he should be seductive. He should be able to turn. Not only does he have control over minds, but with words alone, he can get you on his side. Realize what I was trying to do, and maybe they come to a catharsis where they're like, "My God, he makes sense." No, hold on. They're not gonna go evil. We can't kill you. You are the most hurt individual who has ever lived. You are truly somebody in pain. Join us. Join the Avengers. Be the savior the galaxy, the universe needs. Undo all of it. Like, they have to make him.
That
do
would
it.
Be very.
That's deep writing.
That would be very to the comics in my mind.
They've done that several times.
However, yeah. I see it going one of three ways. One, Madison's thing. Nebula kills him.
Yeah. Have a hardcore beatdown.
Two.
Or Drax.
Or
Drax.
Are three people who deserve to kill Thanos.
I didn't even think of Drax.
Nebula, Drax and Tony.
That's at the end of fucking Guardians 1. Like, I'm going to kill Thanos.
Yeah.
Like, I would love if they just like, "We set it up eight films ago, motherfuckers." Yeah. He did it.
What if Nebula like cuts his arms and legs off, and then Drax delivers the final
blow? Pulls out his heart.
Yeah.
Hey, you fucking
Because
hell
then
yeah,
like,
dude.
You took me apart, put me together. I've taken you apart, and I'm going to put you back together over and over again. And Drax just comes in and like steals the kill.
Or does boom, consider this a purple heart for your service.
Yeah. Now.
Kicks
now,
him off a cliff.
Yeah.
Now, those are my options for what should happen in the movie, okay? I believe he should die.
I do too.
However, what is going to happen immediately after they die? They're going to get the Infinity Gauntlet back from him, and they're going to use it to bring back everyone who Thanos has killed in the snap. And what if, just what fucking if, when they bring everybody back, he comes back too, but he remembers getting his ass beat and goes, "Okay, you know what? Fine.
I'm done.
I tried. I failed. I'm done." But they don't know he's back. So he just takes off and lives on his farm.
That's
and
fair.
Just waits for the end of the universe from the plan that he was trying to save them from.
Right.
So they kill him. There's a satisfying thing. But then we have an after credit stinger
where
of him
still
being alive.
Or like it establishes timelines.
The unsnap brings him back.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if they do this rumored time travel thing, they could kind of pull that T2 where they're all going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then he's just like, "Do what?" And you're like, "We can't do it. He hasn't done it yet." Like, he's done plenty of other terrible things, but I don't know. Arrest him. I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, the Russos, they have some pretty deep writing chops.
Yeah.
And they're very good at surprising you and doing something you didn't expect.
They're going to have deep writing chops because this movie has a wrap-up fucking over 10 years of
shit. It's got to be Lord of the Rings
movies.
Universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be Lord of
the
Rings. The
rumor
long.
Is
it
that
has
it's
to be.
3 hours.
It
yeah.
has to be.
There's
or
a
more.
Rumor that it's 3 hours long.
If, I swear to God, this movie.
I want it to be
it
3 hours
needs,
long.
No, I'm okay. No, it needs to be 4. I'm not even fucking.
No, I'm
if
you.
They have to give us an intermission, so fucking be
yeah,
it.
Same.
This movie needs to be.
Give me fucking 4
this,
hours.
This needs
wrap
to be
it up
Lord of
well.
The Rings
yeah.
extended edition
yeah.
lengths.
Yeah.
Right.
3.5,
I'm
4
sitting here
hours.
Like, what doesn't Marvel get? We've sat there like a dude in the strip club just throwing money at this entire franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't think we want to go over 2.5 hours. People don't have the patience. We've just showed you we're willing to give you our
we're
fortunes.
Willing to sit through
yes.
an intermission.
Give us
Let's
the 4 hour
motherfucker.
Experience.
Yes. Yeah.
You know you're a hit. Why are you cutting your fans
yeah.
down?
Yeah. And then, in addition, I think they should have the 4-hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
And for the non-fans, have like, oh, we have a condensed version. for the people.
They have the money to do that.
Yeah, you know, we have
make a choice of the
people. We have the 4 hour brave, 4 hour editions, and then we have like the 2 hour editions for 2.5 hour for the people who aren't as interested in seeing.
Man,
everything.
if you're seeing this movie,
the 25th film, in the franchise,
23rd film or whatever, and you're not a big fan, like why are you seeing these?
They
movies?
Do have a wide appeal. So
also,
Grandpa does go to see it.
I like these too.
I think this is just pure fan service for me at this point.
Yeah.
As much as it would make the credits immensely long, I think they should have the credit sequence be literally every single person who's worked on every single movie.
Yeah.
From Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, all the way to now.
Seriously. You know what they ought to do? There ought to be no stinger. Except like the after the credit one.
Yeah.
And even maybe just words, thank you all so much.
Yeah, like, that'd be nice.
Everybody, we've done it.
Thank you to all the fans.
And if it goes shit from here, we're sorry, but we've done it. Let us rest. Let us go to bed.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
alternatively,
a message, a Star Wars scroll.
Alternatively, it should be like a thank you so much to all the fans and everything. But as a sneak preview, here's our future timeline.
Right.
And it, because they had that timeline originally, it was like Black Panther and it was.
Yeah, but that also had like Inhumans and
it moved around.
Super, like
but
Captain America
still got,
Serpent Society.
It still
and
got
shit like
everyone
that.
Hyped.
Yeah.
So, like, here's what we have planned, subject to change
that'll
in parentheses.
Be cool, yeah.
Right. And then be like, okay, cool.
No stinger, less respect. We did probably what's going to be a send off. This is it. Thank you, everybody. This is now probably the greatest franchise ever.
You and I are probably going to get that this summer at D23.
We're
probably
going to
get a timeline, and I'm so fucking
We're going
to
D23, and we're going to give y'all the scoop about what happened on the podcast.
You gotta do that.
Yeah.
So. All righty, people.
I'm excited for this season.
We've drawn it out.
Yeah, it's been an hour and a half.
It is a premiere, though. So
it is a premiere. It is a very, very good movie. If you guys haven't seen it, and us talking about it incessantly hasn't spoiled everything for you.
Right. It is not Marvel's first failure. If you've been on board, you've been on the train, it's just another card on the train.
Yeah, everyone who's sitting there going, this
go
is a
see
flop.
It.
Oh,
it's
you will like it.
The
internet trolls,
like
get
it.
Off your fucking high horses and just enjoy the fucking
movie.
Get off
your high horse. Stop fucking being sexist.
That's
my goddamn.
Oh, okay, that's so I don't like it and I'm sexist. Okay, no, I'm kidding.
I mean,
kidding.
No, like, okay.
That's
no,
the casual
that's
response.
Fair, that's a fair casual.
You hear that
like,
response.
Everybody's like, oh, well, if I don't like it, I'm sexist and
like,
I hate women.
You just said 8 things that were blatantly sexist.
Yeah.
That's why we're calling you. But all of them are... That's true. Not everyone's a sexist.
Yeah.
But usually the ones that do say something do that.
They always preface it with 10 sexist
Turns
things.
Me red. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I wish she smiled more. Wow, what a sexist big... Oh, because I don't like it. You just said she should have smiled more and she's wooden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
But anyway. All right,
people.
This has been the first episode of season 3 of the Think Between Worlds podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm David.
I'm Madison.
And I'm Derek.
And if you guys want to share your opinions or be butthurt about the movie or
fight
just
me.
Or just want to be like genuinely supportive and, you know, talk about female empowerment with Madison.
Hell yeah.
Feel free to hit us up at thinkbetweenworlds@gmail.com and at Twitter at @TBetweenWorlds. All right.
All right. All right.
Thank you guys so much. Talk to you later.
Bye bye.
See you later.
The Think Between Worlds podcast was created by David Kennedy Farner and Derek Dillon. It is hosted by Madison Sneddon, David Kennedy Farner, and Derek Dillon. It is edited by David Kennedy Farner, and it is produced by Madison Sneddon, David Kennedy Farner, and Derek Dillon. Intro music by Midair Machine from the freemusicarchive.org, and outro music by Kevin McLeod via incompdeck.com. Cover art by Davy Jones. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you in World 3-2.